5, 4, 2, 3, 1.
Good to see you can count. Could I just get a repeat of that? Could we get that count in again?
Well, I do the count for you because there's such...
Just can you count down from 5?
5, 4, 2, 3, 1.
Welcome all to another episode of The Life of Brian.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's great to have you. We are brought to you by Taubmans. Taubmans, as you know, Brian, are the best in the business. If you're talking paint the professionals trust, you are talking Taubmans.
And you're talking quality.
Yes, as always. We've got a gentleman who's been with us once before, back on our episode, probably in the 20s. Maybe episode 20 when we had James Robot on. We've got Rocky Dabshek in the room. Rocky, welcome.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now, listen, I want to explain where we are. We're in Walhalla. It's on the weekend of Easter, of course. And we're in the lounge room at the place that we have up here, just the little old hospital up here that we're renovating. So we're in the middle of it. We've got a house full. We've got 20 people staying here this weekend. So excuse anyone that... bypasses. The Dale might come past at some stage. One of the cats might come past at one stage.
Rocky, I love how he says, oh, just the little old place we're doing up in Walhalla. Yeah, well, as if to stay modest. And he says, we've got 20 here.
Well, let's just say...
Well, they're on the floor, Harrison.
It's a it's a pretty grand, big old building.
It's, well, it's a shitty old hospital that's dilapidated.
Oh, it's a bit harsh.
He tries to stay common, but...
Anyway, and, Rocky. By the way, everyone, Rocky thinks he's a rock star, and to do anything to shoot you to rock star status.
Brian, remember that song I wrote with you in mind? The lyrics. Yeah, I thought I've got to come up with a really basic lyric, and what did I come up with? I thought he'll understand that.
Yeah. Anyway, the less you say, the better. I would have thought, Rocky. Harrison, what are you going to ask me about?
Oh, we might just go through some quickfire. Here comes Hansel.
Yeah, well, we can't see Hansel because we're on a podcast. But Hansel, up here, buddy. Come up here. No, he's going under the coffee table.
Topic number one. Yep. It's been the biggest AFL topic of the last couple of weeks. And remind we're probably a little bit late to the news when this gets published. But the AFL illicit drug policy. There's been some
major headlines there. And we've heard everyone else talk about it. But I want to ask you, have I missed something? Have I missed something with the drugs policy, with the recreational drugs policy the players wrote and put into place?
AFLPA.
The AFLPA on behalf of the... Have I missed something? What the hell is going on? What is all this fuss about? Tell me what rule has been broken. In all of this, tell me what rule has been broken. The worst thing that has happened is that a doctor and perhaps other doctors... have had to tell a white fib as to why a player can't play in any given week when they're bound to confidentiality, so they can't give the real reason. What else are they supposed to do for the good health and well-being of the player? This is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. I want to tell you my take on this. My take on this whole drugs drama is it boils back to three things. One, a disgruntled former Melbourne doctor. Two, a disgruntled former Melbourne president. And three, a disgruntled and enemy number one journalist for the AFL. They are the three behind this. My information is that that is how Wilkie, who presented it in Parliament with the benefit of parliamentary privilege, presented it on the basis of one of those three pushing it. I'll give you one guess to guess who that might have been, given it's worked well for journalists. And, you know, I just...
So what's your point?
Well, my point is, what have they done wrong? I want to ask you. Everyone is going off on all these different angles about players. What has actually done wrong? Because when you think about it, if a player tests positive during the week because he undergoes a voluntary test and the doctor comes to him on Wednesday night and says, mate, you test positive, you can't play this week, we're going to have to rule you out. It would be negligent for the doctor to continue to let him play. So what, by ruling him out, what has he done wrong? He's done nothing wrong. In fact, he's looked after the health and well-being of the players. This, you need to understand that what the guy in Parliament didn't understand either, I don't reckon he even got the policy. You know, this is a policy that's the only sport in Australia that has an illicit drugs policy. I think it might be the only one in the world that the players have implemented with the Players Association got by. So, Rocky, I am confused. Is there anything I've missed? Because you and I have had about a three-hour conversation on this and I'm pretty annoyed.
I would say universally the worst thing that could happen, the worst rule or law that could be broken would be the confidentiality between the doctor and the client.
Well, that's why
you
had to tell a little white fib.
Absolutely. So that has to be number one.
Okay, so...
And a doctor is protecting the client, and that's it. I mean, most doctors spend their life trying to help people physically and mentally be healthy. So,
Look, Rocky.
So they've done nothing wrong.
You're going off on a tangent.
No, he's right.
No,
I'm agreeing with you,
Rocky. What's Wilkie's name in Parliament?
Andrew.
Andrew Wilkie.
Independent.
I ask Andrew Wilkie. I make him Dr. Andrew Wilkie at the Western Bulldogs Football Club. Dr. Andrew, Marcus Bonampelli's got a positive test this week. What are you going to do, Andrew? What do you reckon Andrew Wilkie would do if he was the doctor of the Western Bulldogs and he was confronted with that situation? He would do exactly what every other f***ing doctor has done, and that is he'd rule the player out for the benefit of his own well-being and so that he doesn't get a four-year ban for going in and playing and then being caught under the wider drugs program. That's what he'd do.
Hang on.
If he cared for the health and well-being of the player, that's what he would do.
Well, Brian, I agree with you. Because that is the function of the medical staff. And it goes further than that, meaning it could be a 22-year-old who's doing okay. A big part of his life or her life has been football. It's taken away from them. The friends they thought they had, a lot would drop off them. And it could send them into a very negative mental spiral downwards.
This whole thing is a nonsense. It's those three people that I mentioned before trying to bring, number one, they're trying to bring Simon Goodwin down, a good, honest operator and a good coach. They're trying to bring the Melbourne Football Club down because of the two disgruntled Melbourne employees, and they're trying to bring the big boys down, the AFL. That's what this is all about, and guess what? Don't the media love it? And all they do is talk about the headline. They don't talk about the ingredients in the facts that actually matter. All they do is talk about a player's on drug. Just read the rules and, you know, conduct yourself accordingly. I am really pissed off about this.
In the words of Brian Taylor, old boy.
No, I'm pissed off, Rocky. I'm passionate about this because I feel like the players are being wronged, the doctors are being wronged when they are doing the right thing
and
under the rules that the Players Association put down, the only competition in the world that has this policy. No other competition has it. Where do footballers come from, Rocky?
They come from families.
They come from
our community.
Well, they come from the community. Well, now, hang on. Don't, Rocky, get too excited about talking. Where do they come from? They come from the community. What happens in the community? People take drugs. What do the odd person in the community get to do? They get to play football at the elite level. Of course there's going to be drugs in football. Of course. It's the same as the community.
I think you've done your dash there.
What else
do
you want to talk about?
Is Collingwood back?
1-3, play Hawthorn, I think, next game, and then got the bye and then got a reasonably tough month after that. Are they back? Yep, I reckon they showed signs, three quarters, that they were back with the pressure skills of the game. I think they had more tackles to half time than they'd had in total games.
And the reverse effect, what does that game mean for Brisbane?
Yeah, well, they are 0-3. And they are in a bit of trouble. See, I actually think that Brisbane are the best team in the competition. Like, I still believe that they're best team in the competition.
But when I
see Hipwood and these guys just not
doing
getting
nothing.
A sniff, Charlie Cameron, I'm just wondering about all the chitter chatter that's going on in the background about the Brisbane Lions players when they went on their trip away, and whether that's had any sort of mental effect. I don't know. But they are in a position that Collingwood was in going into that game up in Brisbane the other night. They absolutely have to win. I still think they can do well. 0-4, there's only been one team make the finals from 0-4 since the inception of the Final Eight system. So, and that was Sydney. I can't remember what year it was, but they made it. So it's a tough ask. There is one more game in all of their in Brisbane's favour. If they do go zip and four, there is one more game than in normal years this year, of course.
Can I add some colour, Rocky?
Well, what is upsetting me most colour. About this,
he said colour.
I know that, is that so far I've had to agree with everything Brian has said.
Yeah, please say something in the, to the contrary.
Well,
colour, Rocky.
I can't, because I actually think Brisbane is the best team in the league, but there's something going wrong. And Brian did ask earlier, where's Brisbane going to be? And I said, well, they're still going to be north of Sydney. You know, so I reckon it's...
Geographically.
But I also think
was that a gag?
No.
That was a gag.
It's a deeper...
It was a gag gone wrong.
No, it's deeper than a gag. My point being, Brisbane will come good and I'm still backing them to win the premiership.
All right, getting away from football by my preferred topics, the non-footballing topics. You were at the Bells Beach Rip Curl Pro last week with... Channel 7.
Thoroughly enjoyed my day, thanks to the WSL.
You did a roaming, so you got to do exactly what you do at the in the rooms at the AFL with the WSL, the best surface in the world.
Access, unbelievable, unbelievable. But protective of their private areas, but the access for the media is as all professional sports should be. There was nowhere that you couldn't go. They were incredibly obliging. For world-class athletes, I was blown away by the organisation.
Who took your fancy?
Who took my fancy?
You interviewed probably 20 people across the whole organisation, and athletes included.
Yeah, Kelly Slater. You know, he was good, but
11-time world champion, the greatest surfer of all time.
No, I think the people, and I can't remember all their names, Harrison, but the ones that were battling to stay on the WSL tour, and we interviewed a couple of those. They're the ones.
Callum Robson.
Yeah, the grittiness of those sort of guys, you know.
Ryan Callen.
Yeah. Yep. So
India Robinson, who was a local girl.
India Robinson.
She had a bit of go about
it. And there was some reasonable local success down there. But the setup is first class. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The openness of it, the way they set it up for the athletes, WSL are to be congratulated.
How about your man Kaipo down on the beach?
Kaipo, he was good. He was the water patrol on that particular day, not his normal spot. He normally up in the box. Joe Tappel was absolutely fantastic as one of the great commentators with the WSL. They are just a brilliant bunch of guys. It was a thoroughly enjoyable day. Thank you.
Rocky, I'll give you another chance. Would you like to add some colour?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, Brian, surely it has to be different doing a roaming with sports people who are individual. Normally you're talking to someone from a team and they say, oh, yeah, I love Gazza, and we all get a lift when Gazza plays well, and, oh, yeah, the boys were really good. So did it feel different?
110% this week.
Yeah, yeah. Did it feel different to you talking to people who are just, you know, they are the singular team themselves?
Well, did it feel different? Not really, because they still – had a story to tell and a personality, and as much as you want to put them down.
I'm not Harrison, how is it putting them down by me saying...
He just wants to disagree with you, Rocky.
Yeah. Anyway, it was good. And there wasn't a lot of difference, to tell you the truth. Professional sports people are professional sports people.
Yes. Moving on. There's been a couple of Instagram moments over the last couple of weeks where you've been travelling interstate, so you obviously travel for the football.
Where is this going?
Where your colleagues, Richo last week, Matthew Richardson, and then Dale Thomas this week, have called you out.
Both classic whingers, yep.
I know they're
about,
not.
You know, they've referenced a photo of them being, you know, in economy seats back in 30D or 21D or E or whatever, and you're up in A1.
Please, this is an age-old argument. I had a sneak peek of Richo's Qantas club account the other day because I was looking over his shoulder when he was looking up and just seeing how well he was going with his points. I noticed just over 2 million points.
So he could upgrade himself
at the bottom of his collection. I'm saying, Richo, don't talk about me. Use those points, mate, and push yourself a bit forward if that's what you want to do. Don't play the poor man that you have to sit down the back and row 30D. Listen, when you're my size, you know,
big
chunky
barge.
You know, I use my points to get a better seat. Just like if I can't get that seat, I'll look for a legroom seat or an emergency exit. Is there anything wrong with that? I would have thought that would have been smart.
No, I do agree with that, but I think you're being unfair to
and
Matthew.
And it's all about points.
Yeah, but don't call Matthew Richardson a whinger around me. Unlike you, Brian, who would struggle to name one Beatles song even, he could name you 150 of them.
The bottom line
name
is...
Name one Beatles song.
Everyone in the football industry, just for those people out there, just to make sure we're on the same page, Harrison, travel's economy, and it's up to you whether you want to elevate yourself using your points.
This is a witch hunt. You're not going to get away with that lightly. Name a Beatles song.
Yeah.
Hey Jude. Fuck. Oh. And I'll tell you why I like Hey Jude, sung by the Beatles. Because it goes for 10 minutes and I like a long song.
Yeah, because when he was on radio, he could put one on and go down the tuck shop and eat something.
This is true. No, when I was on Breakfast, this is why, how I knew that, because I don't know any music. When I was on Breakfast Radio on 3UZ, we lived in Hawthorne, the studio's in Carlton. I was on at 5:30 in the morning. So I would get up out of bed at 5:20 in Hawthorne. I'm 10 minutes away. I got to get dressed and to the station in 10 minutes. And I would get, it would be 5:30 and I'd be blistering through Richmond in where the Vietnamese restaurants are there. And I'm still 5 or 6 minutes away, even at 5:30 in the morning. I'd ring up my producer and I'd say, listen, mate, I'm 5 or 6 minutes away. Could you please put Hey Jude on out of the news? And so he put Hey Jude on, and that knew, I knew I had 10 minutes then.
That means Brian Taylor's late and that, for anyone who's listening. Yeah,
and that's what I used to do.
Next time I'll put Hey Jude on when we're listening for 10 minutes.
What Brian has admitted was I was his producer for 6 weeks and he rang me and said, put Hey Jude on. I thought, I'll get the bugger. I put on, Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, doesn't have a lot to say, which is only about 25 seconds. And I was fired 2 days later.
Anyway. And with good reason.
With good reason, as you're hearing.
But it was
now.
A good song.
That doesn't have a lot to add, Rocky. But
F1s in Melbourne last week. We can't go about not talking.
Record crowds. Travis Old, CEO of the Australian Grand Prix Corporation, doing a sensational job. What a great event. I agree with the way they've done it. When it first came to Melbourne, what they did is they just built all these facilities, grandstands and corporate facilities. And, of course, they had trouble selling them. But my understanding of what the Grand Prix Corporation do now is they build one at a time. They sell it, then they build another one, they sell it, then they build another. So they only build what they need, and therefore it keeps the demand in nice and tight. And with a record crowd, I think it was 430,000-odd over the 4 days. It was just amazing. What incredible colour. Even you as a raging bloody lefty, Rocky, would have to agree that this is... this is a fantastic event. I know you used to be a protester down there in yellow at Albert Park at the gates holding up the flags and waving it like a bloody peanut.
Has anyone got a spare ticket?
But what a great boost it is for the city to have this classy event.
I want you to know that I particularly enjoy...
Why did you protest earlier?
Has anyone got a spare ticket? But nowadays, I want you to know, driving around Melbourne, around that area... From the Wednesday through to the Sunday,
is not a problem at all.
It's just heaven. No, look, I do commend, they've done very well, but is it making a profit, Brian?
Well, it doesn't matter whether the actual races may. Hang on, they sell out, so 430,000 people through the gates, Rocky, record crowd. Now, to set up the infrastructure costs more than what they can get in, I think, but it's not about the cost, Rocky, because. Let's say it is a few million out of pocket, which it has been in other years. It's about the 98% occupancy of our hotels, the 100% occupancy of our restaurants and coffee shops and cafes, the buzz around the city, not to mention the promotion that Melbourne gets worldwide as a city. That's what it's about. And I know you can't see that because all you see, you just want... the government to make donations to you all the time. You're not only a lefty, you're a part-time communist as well, and you expect everyone to be getting a fair share of the money.
Is that like being partly pregnant or something, being a part-time communist? You know, I mean, some of what you come up with, Brian. If I hadn't met your grandson, I'd be suing you now, but I want him to inherit something further down the road.
I assume you're talking about Noah, but I'll... Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, but I've already said that about his children many years ago.
Anyway, what's next?
Yeah, no, just on the race itself, the Grand Prix.
Oh, yes.
It's you don't want people having engine failings and not finishing the race, but Max Verstappen not being there at the finish line, that certainly makes things fun and interesting.
Yep, and it does. But even that aside, I think the gap was starting to close a little. There's a lot of talk about Verstappen changing to another team soon. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And if he's thinking that, maybe he feels like the gap's tightening as well. You know, got Hamilton going to Ferrari at the start of next year. Ferrari doing really well. Carlos Sainz wins the race. Leclerc's going well. They look really strong. They look like they've definitely, and for quite a while now, they've had it on the qualifying lap. They've been able to match it with Verstappen and the Red Bull team. Just haven't been able to do it under race conditions yet. But it looks like I just feel like they're closing the gap at the moment. Williams are going in the not Williams, Mercedes are going the opposite direction, but certainly Ferrari are looking good.
And Brian, have you been to Lygon Street on the night that Ferrari has won?
No, I haven't.
I have. It is sensational. Seriously.
Well, there you go.
Lygon Street lined.
I don't know why you bothered protesting all of those years ago.
And you know what? What I liked about them? All those Ferraris were red.
Moving on, final topic here, and this one is an unfortunate topic. We have had a passing away, a death in the family. We've gone through the pets once or twice on this family. But
Tiger.
No. You said you'd remember her name.
Tiger.
Out of respect.
No.
Now that she's passed. I'll give you a clue.
Pelican. Tiger.
Pelican. It starts with a T.
Now you're just naming animals.
It's like a two-word name.
It's mum's cat.
Tinkerbell. That's right. Yeah. Tinkerbell has passed. Now
you sound excited.
I do sound excited that Tinkerbell has finally passed.
Be careful here.
Tinkerbell was, when we were on the farm, Tanya found her in the paddock. She was a feral, and she gradually lured her with food. She gradually became a little more friendly.
She lived in the shed. She had kittens. A couple of years, she started living in the
veranda. She had kittens, and we got the baby, but Tinkerbell has finally passed.
She's had a long battle with...
permanently pissing her bed in the end.
She was incontinent.
Incontinent.
Yeah, she was on four different medications to try and help her through. It was costing us a fortune.
Thyroid.
And I secretly rung the vet. Tanya thought she was going for a checkup. I secretly rung the vet and said, "Listen, it's time." So
it was really
apparently
suffering.
It was very pleasant the way that they put them to sleep.
Yeah, but she lived mainly in a cupboard.
Yeah, she did. She lived in a cupboard. She ate in a cupboard.
That was my choice.
She slept in a cupboard, and she liked the cupboard closed on most days.
It was terrible.
So this is true. She lived in a kitchen cupboard, and she would go.
Laundry.
She would paw the door if she wanted Tanya to let a bit of sunlight in.
You're not giving Turtle much justice here.
Oh, no, it's Tinkerbell.
Oh, sorry.
Turtle's still alive.
Now I'm getting the name wrong. Yeah. You're not giving Turtle.
Anyway,
Tinkerbell
Turtle
much
is very
here.
Lonely at the moment. He's very, very lonely home by himself. Tiger.
Yeah. Anyway, after this, we're going to get Ryan on, the son of Brian.
The oldest son.
The oldest son.
What are we going to talk to him about?
Oh, we're just going to do 20, 30 minutes.
No, no, we're going to do about 6 minutes.
The life of Ryan.
He's not that interesting.
Oh, no, he is. Give him a chance. I mean, you're more or less equating him as the Tinkerbell of your sons, you know.
Rocky, stop trying to get extra time on our podcast. Okay, here we go. Now, Ryan is with us. Ryan is my oldest son. Harrison, so we've met Jesse, the youngest. You're the second youngest, and Jordan, who we had on in recent months.
He's
and
the
Ryan's the only one we haven't had on. He's the oldest child, married with one child, first grandkid of mine, isn't it? Yeah.
What's his name?
His name is Ryan with an R.
No, the grandchild.
Noah.
Yeah, good. Yep. So this is now the life of Ryan. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, Ryan works as an editor.
You look at me like
cameraman.
You talk to me.
Yeah. So you're at Fox Sports, Fox Footy?
No.
What?
At 7.
No, but you were.
Yes.
For five, that's where you started, 5 or 6
Correct.
Years.
For
what
4
does
years.
An editor, we know what a cameraman does, it's obvious. He shoots people with a camera. What does an editor do? What would we see of your work on 7?
Well, you would see some feature stories of players,
right.
So I'd go down to the club, someone would shoot it, whether it's myself or somebody else, and then that would be edited together in a little two-minute piece.
Right, so that might have taken 15 minutes of filming time down to 2 minutes of actuality.
Correct, yeah.
So you don't shoot any live pictures per se, or mostly don't?
I rarely do, occasionally.
Yeah.
I do, but no.
So then you edit it all together. How many editors would like Fox Footy and Channel 7 have at each network to do a big sport like AFL?
They might have 4 constants during the whole week of leading up to a game.
Okay, so there's a lot of...
And that'll depend on the sports too.
A lot of pre-packaged stuff, isn't
it? So do all the editors do all the sports? Or is there an editor for a particular sport?
Yeah, is there an editor for cricket that just does cricket?
No, I wouldn't say. They float around a lot. Most of them are now freelancers.
They do seem like real floaters.
And they come in and out of different sports. Like we have a guy that edits some of the cricket and then goes off and does the tennis, Australian Open.
So when I come back. When I come into Seven and I go down to the, I think you're in about the fourth basement. It's a,
they
like
call
a,
it the dungeon down
the
there.
The dungeon.
It's like it's still got shackles down there. It's dark and dingy, and you get a little office about 1.5 metres by one, and there's about 10 of you sitting in there, and it's a very weird place. Is it fair to say that editors are slightly, well, they're different?
Well, they're creatives.
They're creative, are they?
To yourself.
They're creative.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Ryan has told me many stories about how hard the talent is to deal with at Channel 7.
Yeah, it all filters back to us.
What? Am I hard to deal with?
That's what I was insinuating. Yeah.
I think you'd be a bit pedantic. You're the only one that wants an A5 sheet of paper with big bold letters, has to be laminated. You're the only one to ask for it.
Well, I would have thought that's called preparation.
No, but it's not your preparation. Someone else is doing that for you.
No, I don't have access to that stuff.
But
I don't have access to an A3 laminator, Ryan.
Yeah, and Ryan, be fair to your father. He's older. 32-year-olds can get by with A4. You get a bit older, you need A5. Bigger.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having people do a little bit of help here and there. And what else do we not want to know about Ryan? He's you've got a farm. Now, you are one of the whinging sons that complained about me making you pick up sticks on the 500-acre farm. But you've got a 2-acre farm. So how are you going with the sticks on that?
So we're both hobby farmers.
Well, no, mine was real. Yours is pretend. 2 acres. I mean, you've got 2 sheep and a bloody dog or something.
No, that's all we can handle
chooks,
right now.
Your chooks got eaten. You've got more chooks?
We've got more chooks. We've got another 4.
Oh, tell me about the story of getting the chooks and the chook man, the chook seller. I heard there's a story behind that.
The chooks.
So you live down near Geelong?
Down near Geelong.
Yep. Barrable.
Barrable.
And there's some Geelong footballers around there.
Yeah.
Geelong footballers.
Reece Stanley, Tom Hawkins.
Tom Hawkins, Isaac Smith.
Yes.
And they all frequent this chicken man.
Oh, they go to him to buy their chickens?
Yes.
Right.
In Mount Dunedin.
Oh, not far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I rocked up there and was talking to him and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, Tom Hawkins is buying chooks for me. I've got Chris Scott comes down and he takes a couple of chooks. And then he goes, I'm BT Sons down the road and he gets a couple of chooks. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
I haven't got any yet.
I've been here before.
With that, Jess, who is your wife, my sister-in-law, worded me up about your veggie patch and how you've just joined a club. Tell me about the Diggers Club.
What club? The Diggers Club.
Diggers Club.
And this isn't a former military service type club. This is a...
No. It's like a website and you buy all your seeds and stuff from.
So it's people talking seeds.
No, well, yeah.
That would be
forums
a weird forum.
There's forums on it, but you go there to buy your little heirloom seeds.
Do they have a meeting? Do the Diggers Club get together and talk about... You should have seen my seed. It sprung 2 leaves in the opening 10 days.
No, I just do my own thing.
Now, Ryan, I think we skipped over the chooks too quickly. Your dog, Bowie, famous for stalking your old chooks. The new ones, have you given them names? And is Bowie revisiting his old habits?
No, he's starting to round them up, but they've been locked in the pen for a week now to get used to the surroundings. So Bowie hasn't had a full introduction just yet.
So what I've noticed about Ryan is he's got one child. The child's Noah is about 18 months, 20 months, somewhere about there. He's got another one on the way. He's not really coming to grips with the one. When number two is on the plate, you are going to flip out, mate. Have you got a new appreciation for your mother who looked after 4 of you at once?
I do. I always have.
And she only missed 2 days' work in 10 years when she had the kids.
She worked as well as looked after you.
Yes.
What's it like being a father?
What
do you enjoy? What do you hate? Be honest.
Well, it's been challenging. What parts of it do I like? Well, you do get home every day and the big smile on his face.
Is that Bowie or the kid?
The kid. You know, a race is always bad doings for the day. He hasn't been a great sleeper over the last couple of months. So that's tested us. He's been sleeping in our bed sideways. That's probably about it.
He's not doing fun. Words and sentences, is he yet?
Not quite. Doesn't join them together.
No.
Just yet. Just the single words. So he's he'll be two in July.
He's like you. He's like you, Harrison. Like you currently are.
Well, he's just
one word at a time.
Well, he's putting the same amount of words together as Jesse at this point. He's not much of a talker either, Jesse, the brother, obviously. You mentioned some of the wrongdoings. I heard he shat on the floor yesterday.
Oh. What?
Yeah, not on your floor.
Not on this floor, Jess's, another floor.
But what Jess's kid walks floor. Around but that's a nude fact. At any place without
just come
a nappy
closer
on.
To that microphone as well.
You need
Ryan.
To get him used to knowing where it comes from.
So you're happy with so that?
Well, I wasn't happy with it.
But that's good training. That's toilet training. In
well,
your...
I didn't know he did it. Well, to
did,
start
you,
with.
Did you take him back and get him to sniff it or something?
Yeah, he came.
Well, that's what you do with a dog. You rub the
how
nose
about a,
in
but
it.
How about a bit of decorum, Brian?
I know, but I'm just wondering how you do it.
He at least came and got me. He brought me from the kitchen.
Oh, he showed you.
To the lounge.
And what
goes,
did he say?
That's it.
That's it. Have a look what I did, Daddy.
I said, did you do it? And he said, and he just froze up.
There, yeah. There.
Now, what was his very first word that came out of his mouth ever?
Dada.
How good did that feel?
That was, and still hasn't said mummy yet.
And did it almost break the marriage up?
Yeah. Jess is not happy.
Very good.
There was, stop trying to wrap everything up. Why are you always in a rush?
Right.
Let's just take it
easy. I was going to move on to the next thing, but go.
Okay, if you've got something,
no,
go for it.
Go, come on.
No, I was going to talk about... the way I would put Ryan's life is in four phases.
Yeah.
Phase number one has been what Noah is now, the first grandchild of the Rowbottom family.
Sport rotten.
Absolutely. Your doting aunties, you know,
yep.
Trips around the world, yep. All of this stuff. Phase two would be the entrance of his siblings. So this would be, he's the oldest brother. He's looking after us, speaking for Jordan, because Jordan had a genuine speaking impediment when he was young.
Yeah.
And then
we didn't think he was going to speak at one.
Probably stage. That as we started growing a bit older, we got into a WWE era. So Ryan was therefore using and abusing his younger brothers as instruments to practice his WWE moves. I remember getting choke slammed onto the couch.
Those ladders in the room wasn't just because we were painting.
I remember on it's during school holidays on Fridays, because Mum always used to go to Sunbury on Fridays to do the shopping. Because we lived in Riddles Creek, Sunbury was down the road with the major, you know, Woolworths and stuff like that. And as soon as Mum was gone, we knew that it was on. We're bringing out the wrestling belts that we had, and we're doing a full-scale Royal Rumble, dressing up characters. And the back living room had couches that had arms missing and caved in. What do you call this area?
Woodwork. Bases,
And
you could hear Dad coming.
Yeah, we put some holes in the walls and you could hear Dad coming. And Dad would always work the weekends with the footy and come home on a Sunday. And nobody, he didn't know that the couches were fucked by the time he got home. And sometimes, you'd rather Ryan's choke slams than Brian's after he found out.
But you knew when to scatter, because you'd hear the big elephant footsteps come down the hallway.
Yeah.
And you'd be jumping out windows and hiding under beds.
I'll let you chime in on this one. Phase three would be the victim mature age. So the teenage years.
Yeah.
What would you summarize victim mature as? Because that's not a public facing name.
Oh no, he was too good for anything. He was too too mature to do any little kiddie thing anymore, and all of a sudden that came and he left your brothers and they had no one to play with anymore.
I was 23.
You became this victim mature.
There was one
very serious operator.
Very big victim mature story in this household was the use of the tongs. There was one evening in particular where Ryan was using the tongs the wrong way. So, you know, usually you go overhand, he was going underhand. And I don't know why this really drove you mad to the point where a knife was flung across the room and was like wobbling after being thrown at Ryan in the wall, like a scene from the Three Musketeers.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, true. There was also an overinflated ego of his athletic abilities.
Ryan's?
Yeah, to the point where, you know.
Oh, come on.
Apparently he was playing VFL.
Yeah. What about his first game? Yeah. He played down at Collingwood in the VFL, and I think he did. It was a loosely termed VFL. Might have been some
scratch
sort of practice
match.
It was a practice match.
And he was playing on Liam Jarrell. And I went to watch this game, and the one guy that you did not want to be playing on that you knew was fleet of foot was Liam Jarrah.
Ryan played him into form.
I was his stepladder for the afternoon.
Well, they said Ryan won the game, but for the other side.
He also apparently swam for Victoria.
Yeah.
I think he was just a good swimmer. He just swam in a pool in Victoria.
What was your fastest 50 free, do you remember?
It was 28.
I was going to say 28.
That's not bad. Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah. Well, it's like a world record for context.
Is 12? It's under 20.
No, I think it's 20. I think it's around 20.
I think it's around 20. Like, yeah. It might be 19 or 20 seconds. Yeah.
And although I'm taking the piss here, Ryan actually was. So he played domestic basketball at Riddles Creek. Ryan won a couple of best and fairest in our league.
Against you, who is a state basketball player?
We played in the same team. Yeah. But
so I won the BNF on top of you.
But speaking of the people we're playing against,
I sucked myself out all the time.
They were 50 plus year old women from Sunbury who were limping down the court the same as Brian. So the competition.
Well, I wouldn't want to win the. I'd definitely have to win the best.
There wasn't team, really great defense being put on offer. And then I'd say within this category, phase three, were the dark years, where you were sort of collaborating a lot with Rocky, big conspiracy theorists, climate change.
I'm not into conspiracy theories. That is absolute rubbish. All I was trying to get...
But Ryan was a bit. This is not about
you.
But you
were in his ear about all these...
I was told that he was earning a good quid and he was a soft touch. That was my motivation.
No, but you were...
Well, no, but what...
You were talking to him about the conspiracy theories and you wound him up like a two-bob watch to believing all this...
No,
shit.
I don't believe any of those...
You don't believe man landed on the moon. I remember one night I come in and you were talking to him about that and I'm thinking, Rocky...
It's rubbish. I believe man landed on... The only conspiracy I'm into is JFK was not just murdered by Harvey
Oswald.
Oh, it was definitely the CIA and the mafia and all of that.
That right there is a conspiracy theory by definition.
And I said that's the only one
and
I'm into.
And that's not what I was dabbling in.
Well, Ryan, do you want to defend yourself?
Yeah, I don't know what conspiracy theories you're talking about. Yeah,
oh, you were into everything. You were recycling. You were doing it hard at the start. You were very negative on the world, and the world's going to come to an end, and it's going to.
There
end
was one particular
the ice ages sort of.
There was one particular book I remember reading. It was something about God, and the title is just so true to what I'm talking about. What's the title of this book?
Rocky, what was the title?
God is evil or something?
God isn't great or something like that.
God is not great.
Yeah, but you have to read these things. You have to read different types of books to get a better perspective.
He is a very cultured man.
I thought the title of the book was God is a good business investment.
And I would say the phase four, final phase, which is the phase we're in now, which is not the final phase of his life, is the entrance of Jess and Noah. And how that has changed his life, I think, for the better.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good communicator. Jess has turned him into a slightly better communicator
still,
now.
Still, he doesn't answer the phone. I'm
good at answering the phone, not great at texting.
She's a ball of fun, which is bringing him out of his shell a lot more. Not that he was a shell of himself, Briler, but yeah.
And little Noah. Little Noah's allowed Ryan to express the child in himself as an adult, whereas when you were a child, you had to be the father because your father actually was off playing football interstate.
I was home a lot.
Oh, but you were training. You were running around the paddock.
I was home
and all of
5 days a week, more than any other dad.
You're an absentee father.
He still is home.
They
five
just
days
ran
a week.
Away because they knew I was going to tell them to pick up sticks. And so they would hide under the house.
Do you blame me, Rocky?
No, I don't. Well, I've seen Brian with his father. And he said his father had to come over from Western Australia on several times just to pick up sticks.
He loved it. It was his favourite thing.
Speaking of men of few words, Derek is a man of very, very
few words.
Yes, very few words.
Very few words. He's a pick up stick man. So if you ask him to pick up sticks, he would pick up sticks until his hands bleed.
Loves a good weed.
Thistles? Hates thistles.
Thistles, yeah. So he's a thorough man. Unlike you guys, after 3 minutes you're saying, I've picked them all up, you know. Dad would be out there all day.
An honest day's work he operates by, unlike you two.
Before we wrap up here, we do need to look after our sponsors, yes. Taubmans. Taubmans, as we know, what are they?
Quality suppliers of quality paint. And we've had personal experience.
What I was going to say, they're the authority in paint, and they're all about trust and reliability.
Yeah.
And what we do here, we ask, and we might go around the round table here and ask everyone, who would you trust to paint your house?
Who would I trust to paint my house? I'd trust me absolutely, because I would do it properly. Ryan, who would you trust to paint your house? If you had to leave someone with a Monarch paintbrush and some Taubmans paint, who are you handing it to?
Someone who you always go to for some sound advice, reliable performance.
You've got 3 seconds, mate. You have to give an answer.
Rocky, we'll go to you.
I'd give it to Alan, my father-in-law.
Right, for your father-in-law.
There you go.
Yes, who would you give it to, Rocky?
Without a question of a doubt, I'd give it to Brian. And I want you to know that the only reason I haven't bought any Rembrandts is because they didn't have Taubman paint back then.
Harrison?
As you always say, nobody really cares what I think, so...
No, I care.
All right, well, that'll just about wrap it up, I think, will it?
Thank you, Ryan and Rocky, for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure having you down here in Wahoa for Easter. Rocky,
the 2 R's, Ryan and Rocky.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, the 2 R's. What a bunch of wankers.